Okay, gentlemen, we're going to wrap up the Ir HaMiklat today, and we're still on the last sheet that I gave you out, and we're going to look at the page Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel. You got that? Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel? Just put that on the side. We're going to refer to it, and I don't want to stop in the middle of the class for us groping for it. And in addition to that, I'm going to give you a sheet that's in English, so you'll be happy. That gives you a beautiful insight. I gave this class once, an early Shabbos morning class a couple years ago. I'm sure everyone's forgotten it, but it fits in perfectly here, and it never was recorded on tape, so that'll be good. And you'll see how this all fits in. You will see how this all fits in very quickly. This is a nice little handout. You won't have to take too many notes today. Get a rest. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ben Aze says, Hevri Ratz Lemitzvah Kala Kigra Chamura. You should run to an easy mitzvah, run to perform an easy mitzvah, just like you run to perform a difficult mitzvah. That's the concept. This is in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, in Pirkei Avos. And the reason that is given for this, for one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Also the concept, you don't know the matan schar, you don't know the reward for mitzvahs. You know, we can't be judges of what mitzvahs are all about. And that's why you should run, perform easy mitzvahs. So, the Rambam, on his perish to the Mishnah, says something extremely important. Very important. He says our rabbis have drawn attention, and I'll read you, I have a Hebrew, and you got the English. They drew attention. Achidush nifla batora, yesh bo zerus al maase hamitzvos. This wondrous chidush, this wondrous idea, this insight that will inspire us to perform mitzvos. And what is the example of the Torah that the rabbis find for us over here? In other words, we could learn how important it is that a person should have alacrity to doing mitzvos. As it says in the Torah, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'ever HaYarden Mizrach HaShemesh. Then Moshe separated three cities on the east side of the Jordan River. And the Rambam says, this is an amazing, amazing example. Why? Because we know, via Dua, it's known, She'enen Mo'ilos, that what he did really didn't help the separation. So yeah, Bahen Din Ari Miklat. They didn't have a status of an Ir HaMiklat for people to escape to. At Sheyivdulu Hasholosh Acheres Shabaretz Yisrael, until the other three were separated. So why did Moshe bother? The law is, the Torah says you have to have six Ari Miklat. Only when there's six do any of them work. So if you only have three, they don't work yet. Now they conquered the east side of the Jordan. Moshe separates the three. But it doesn't help anyway. So what did he say? So Amr the rabbi said, Yodei haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav Hashem shein sholosh arim shebev yardin kol tos achiv lo sholosh shebev yardin shol. Moshe knew that the three on the east side wouldn't work until the other three were separated. As it says, Shenemar, because it says in the Midbar, Sheish arim miklatin, you have to have six ir miklats. V'amnam hiv del elu. But he separated them anyway. V'nei sha'amr, because he said, Hoel uba mitzvah lo yadi akayimeno. Since a mitzvah has come to me, I'm going to fulfill it. Now, the rabbi tells, Vim kayyitze bazeh. And if similar alacrity and effort to doing mitzvahs. But Moshe Rabbeinu also, that Moshe Rabbeinu did this. And Masig Amitis, he understood the truth, Sholem Shabashlema, with complete perfection. Right? He reached the highest level, and he understood this. Now imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu, does he have a shortage of mitzvahs?
Didn't finish.
I'm saying, does he have a shortage of mitzvahs in his lifetime? No, would you say he's up there in the Hall of Fame? I understand. Would you say he's in the Hall of Fame of mitzvahs? Most goals scored? Most assists?
Dwayne Gretzky.
You know?
So, Nirsav
Lahosiv Chatzi Mitzvah Saseh Al Kol Malos Shleimoso. He made an effort to add on a half a mitzvah here. On top of everything he has to perfection. Ain't Sarach Lomar the more so. She Yasu Mi, she needs to Nav Shom. Certainly people whose souls are all stirred up and, you know, not such great souls, right? Our souls are inflicted with tzaras and sins. V'yischaska tzarata v'kodma, and our tzaras has already spread all over our bodies. In other words, people like us who are so afflicted, all the more so we should make haste to do mitzvahs. This is the Rambam. This is the Rambam. So there's two questions on this Rambam. Very important questions. Number one, and we got it written down right over here. This example of rushing to a mitzvah, you picking the example of an Ir HaMiklot, is not such a good example, because there's another principle that tells us a mitzvah only is considered to the one who finishes it. That's who gets considered credited with the mitzvah. So at the end of the day, Yeshua got credited for this mitzvah. You start a mitzvah, it's okay, it's nice, but you know, the bottom line is, who finishes the mitzvah? It's not exactly a stellar example of a mitzvah, to rush to do a mitzvah, A. B, the Rambam says this is a wondrous insight. That's what he started I've translated in the English, and it says in the Hebrew, he says, our rabbis have, informed of this chiddush nifla. It's an amazing insight, this idea of the Yeram Miklot, what's going on. By the rabbis telling us, even though it didn't count, how Moshe was alacritous to do this. So what's the amazing chiddush? What is the amazing chiddush? So to understand this, let's take a look in Sefer Dvarim, and there is an important Ramban, Nachmanides, in Sefer Dvarim. And really, we'll shed a great insight into what's going on over here. If you look in Sefer Dvarim, the Ramban makes a very good note of this. You start Sefer Dvarim. What's the beginning of Sefer Dvarim? The first four chapters. What's the theme of Sefer Dvarim? It's rebuke. Moshe rebukes the Jewish people. He tells them off. He reminds them of the sin of the golden calf and this and that. And I remember your parents, they messed up. They did a lot of problems, blah, 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 blah. And he tells us that goes for the first four chapters, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, all the way till Pasuk Mem. All the way till Pasuk Mem. And finally, you know, at the end of the rebuke, you know, after all you did, you know, and then he's saying, have you ever heard of a God who could take a nation out of another nation from a fire and survived? Has any God ever miraculously come to take himself a nation amongst a nation, etc., etc., to do awesome deeds? You have been shown in order to know that Hashem, He is the God, there is none beside Him. He's laying it on. From heaven He caused you to hear His voice, blah, 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 because He loved your forefathers and chose His offspring after them to drive away the nations that are greater and mightier than you, to bring His land of inheritance. You shall know this day and take to your heart that Hashem, He is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is none other. He concludes this Musar, you shall observe His decrees and His commandments that I command you this day, so that He will do good to you and to your children after you, and so that you will prolong your days on the land that Hashem your God gives you for all your days. So the first section of Sefer Dvarim is rebuke, and says, okay, and now you gotta behave. and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you better do the mitzvahs I tell you to do. That's the first part of Sefer Dvarim. What's the second part of Sefer Dvarim? Rambam says, Nachman says, it's the mitzvahs. Starting chapter 5, it's the mitzvahs. Hashem says, listen to the mitzvahs. Listen to the covenant I made with you at Sinai, not only with your parents, but with you as well. And then we go into the Aseres Hadibros, who refused the Aseres Hadibros, and we get into all the various mitzvahs of Sefer Dvarim. So the Ramban basically is saying that the beginning are words of rebuke, and this is like the introduction to the Sefer Dvarim, and then after the rebuke, he calls them for all the mitzvahs. Okay, I'm going to tell you all the mitzvahs. So there's a very simple question. The Ramban seems to have skipped something. After the rebuke and before the mitzvahs, there are 9 psukim. And what are in those 9 psukim? You have the rebuke, you got the mitzvahs, and they got 9 psukim in the middle. What are those 9 psukim? It says, then Moshe, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim. Then Moshe separated 3 cities on the east side of the Jordan River for a person who kills by unintentionally to go. And it tells you what he divided up. Betzer in the Midbar to the tribe of Reuven. Gilad for God. Golan for Menashe. Okay. And he talks about this. He talks about the Ir HaMiklat. What are we bringing in? A historical fact, you know, a story. Then Moshe divided it up. It doesn't fit into the entire flow of the Sefer Dvarim. Moshe's getting up. Remember, this is supposed to be a speech. This was a speech. Sefer Dvarim is a speech. You got it? It's a speech. The whole Sefer Dvarim is a speech. It was given over 37 days. So he gives a mussar. He lets them have it. Gives them rebuke. Blah, 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 blah. And Ramban says, and after the rebuke, he tells them the mitzvahs they got to do. Okay, but wait a minute. In between, he goes and separates the 3 cities of refuge. What is that? It's an interruption of the theme. Take it out. Doesn't fit into the natural flow. And this is a major question the commentaries have on the Ramban. So how do we understand it? So the answer is that, you know, you can give rebuke to people all day long. You could try to show them what they're doing isn't correct. You can say, oh, you should be doing better, blah, 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 blah. But there is a very long gap between the rebuke that you give a person and the actual response and the mitzvah observance that you're looking to find from them. There's a gap. You know, wrapping it up, give a whole drush on why people should come to Minyan. And guess what happens? The next week, nobody comes to Minyan. And the rabbi explained, and he said how important the mitzvah is, and explains the whole thing, and nobody comes. Right? It's one of the most challenging parts of being a rabbi. You show people what they're supposed to do, and they don't listen. And every week you go back, and you always believe it's like the drop of water on the rock with Rabbi Akiva. Eventually, it's going to get through. If not now, maybe in another lifetime. But whatever. But there's a gap between the mussar and the actual things of happening. So what's going on over here? So what happened is these 9 psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us at the Ir HaMiklat, it serves as a bridge between the rebuke of Moses, of Moshe, and the mitzvahs that he tells us to do. And because we often hear mussar, but that doesn't motivate us to do mitzvahs, so Moshe needed a bridge between the mussar and our ability to do the mitzvahs. How does this work? So generally, if you ask a person why he does a mitzvah, there's generally 2 answers we get out of this. Either you do a mitzvah out of fear, either you're afraid, listen, if I don't do it, God's going to punish me. Or you say, listen, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get a reward. And that's out of fear. We know the Rambam says that's not a very good level. There's another way. We do it out of love. We love Hashem, but we do things out of love, which is obviously a better way. But sometimes you're not so afraid, and sometimes you're not that much in love. Right? You know, Hashem gives you a lot of challenges. You know, the love gets cooled off a little bit. You don't have a job. Your marriage isn't going so well. Kids aren't doing well. You say, Hashem, you know, if you loved me so much, you know, things would look a little differently. So, you know, I'm not loving you so much right now. We have a cool period. It's time to do a mitzvah. You know, you haven't thought about Gehenim recently. You haven't thought about Olam Haba recently. You're not really too excited about Hashem. And guess what happens? Why is it that, you know, that last night, you know, seven guys show up to Minchamar. Okay, some people are sick. Okay, sick. Can't do anything about it. But you know, there must be at least 50, 60 people, healthy, able bodies that just don't come to Minyan. Just don't come to Minyan. So why? I mean, don't you know how important it is to daven in the Minyan? Well, you know what? I wasn't so afraid of God last night, and I wasn't that much in love with Him. And people don't come. So you can give Musar all day long, it isn't going to help. You yell and scream and say you're going to burn in hell. Yeah, it doesn't cut it. So Moshe is teaching us a higher understanding of doing mitzvahs. And maybe that higher understanding could cut it. So let's give an analogy. Let us say a person is in the desert and he is hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. And he doesn't know how he's going to get out of this desert. He has a little bit of water in his canteen. A little bit of water left. So what does he say? Well, since I'm hopelessly lost, it's not even worth it for me to drink this little bit of water, because I'm probably going to die anyway. Is that what a person says? Or does the person say, you know what? As long as I'm alive, there's hope. If I drink a little water, I'll live a little longer. I mean, how much longer are you going to live by drinking another 3 ounces of water? Okay, maybe another day, place. But you know what? As long as there's an opportunity to live a little longer, you're going to hop around. You're going to do what you can. Even though it's not an ultimate solution, but, you know, you do what you can in order to live. That's what you do. So, because why? Because every human being has a drive to live a little bit longer, as much as possible, even if things look hopeless. And that we never have a problem with. Lo aleinu chas v'shalom, person gets a terminal disease. Most people don't say, well, it's a terminal disease, so I might as well give up and just die. I mean, there's the odd one there who commits suicide, and, you know. But generally speaking, they're going to say, well, you know, even the doctors tell you, you know, there's a 20% chance that people survive this sickness for 5 years. Right? 20% chance, I mean, it's not such a high percentage, that you'll survive at best 5 years. So what do? They do all the therapies they can do. Well, why? It's only a 20% chance you'll live 5 years. The answer is because everybody wants to live. Everyone wants to live. That's a natural instinct. People want to live. So what Moshe was teaching us was Moshe understood that mitzvos give you life. Forget about doing it because you love God. Forget about you do it because you fear God. You know what a mitzvah is? A mitzvah is life. As we say in the Marav, Ki heim chayenu varech yameinu, is the length of our days. It is our life. Not Coke. Coke is life. Mitzvahs are life. That's what life is. A mitzvah is life. A mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, it rocks the universe. Every mitzvah. Every mitzvah shakes the chain above. Every mitzvah gives you a deposit in the eternal world of life in a greater way. And every mitzvah is unbelievably valuable. He understood this. And we don't measure how much life it gives. Any amount of life is valuable. That was the insight that Moshe was teaching. And he wanted to teach us. He says, he gives you Musar. Okay, you get the Musar. And now he's about to tell you to do mitzvahs. But if he doesn't add one more thing and says, in spite of the Musar, I'm giving you the Musar. I don't think you go to the mitzvahs, but I'm trying to tell you. And not just tell you, But he demonstrates for them that mitzvahs are life. How does he demonstrate it? He demonstrates it with the cities of refuge. This is the insight. And that's what the Rambam is saying in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. That we have a wonderful insight about why we should have alacrity for doing mitzvahs. You should run to an easy mitzvah the same way to a heavy mitzvah. Why? Because every mitzvah is life. We start determining, well, this amount of life is good. I care about this amount. I don't. You care for any amount of life. Any person doesn't have any oxygen. Just give me a little bit of oxygen. You run for a little bit of oxygen. So for that little bit of life, anybody runs for that amount of life. And that's why you should run for it. Not, you know, you get around to it. If you understand that this, you know, we had the medrash, a peddler runs around, says, Mi'aisha chavetz chaim, who wants life? Who wants life? A peddler says, I'm selling you the elixir of life. Everybody's running to him. Everybody's running. If they find out a magical vitamin that's going to give you a little bit more life, everybody's running for it. Why? Because everybody wants a little bit of life. Even a guy says, I'm going to sell you something that'll give you another hour of life. You run. Because life is life. Life is precious. And if you understand that a mitzvah is life, if a mitzvah is life, then you will run for a mitzvah. Now it's interesting, you know, when we pick up the Sefer Torah, what do? We say, V'zos HaTorah, Asher Samoshe Lufnei B'nei Yisrael, P'i Hashem B'yad Moshe. Right? So, where is this pasuk? Where does this come from? You know, you made it up. Well, the truth is that the entire line is not a pasuk in the Torah, but the majority is. You know what it is? It's the very next line after Moshe gives the three Ori Miklot. Moshe separates the three Ori Miklots. And then it says, "Vizos haTorah." This is the Torah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, the Moshe placed before the Jewish people. This is it. This is the one, because this verse teaches us that the essence of mitzvahs is life. This is the Torah. This is the whole point of Torah. The point of Torah is to realize that mitzvahs is life. But Moshe, it's not even going to accomplish anything with it. It doesn't matter. Every little bit I do is a little bit of life. And that's the chiddush that Moshe wanted to show them. And he says, okay, and now I can begin to describe these mitzvahs for you. Because now you understand how important they are. You know, so we think, you know, that when the snake was able to get Chava and Unmarishan to sin, so the common understanding we have is, how did they do that Aveira? So the common understanding is that the snake engaged Chava in dialogue and was able to catch her on a mistake. And when she made the mistake, he exploited the mistake, and therefore he took advantage of that. She starts talking about the tree of knowledge. She says, well, you know, Adam told me not to touch the tree of knowledge because if we touch it, we're going to die. The snake pushes her into it. She touches it. She doesn't die. She says, see, you didn't die. You didn't die for touching. You won't die for eating it. That's the common understanding. But some of the commentaries say a little bit different. It says like this, when Chava was discussing about the tree of knowledge, not to eat it, so it says in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, she says the following. Come on. So he was very cunning, and he speaks to the woman, and the woman says, Umipriha eitz asher basocha gan amar elokim, and from the tree inside the garden Hashem amar elokim, Hashem said lo sochlu memeno v'losigubo, don't eat from it, don't touch it. She used an expression that what amar elokim, Hashem said we shouldn't eat it. Now is that exactly how the mitzvah was given over, that Hashem said? Well, let's go back to the chapter before and let's see what happened exactly. Hashem takes man, he puts him in the garden. What's the word it says? Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam. Hashem commanded the man concerning the tree. telling him you can't eat from the Eitz Hadas. It says Vayitzav. It doesn't say Vayomer. It doesn't say Hashem said to him. Hashem commanded him. This was the mistake that Chava made. Hashem commanded him to not eat from it. He commanded him, eat from these and don't eat from that. Chava didn't say that Hashem commanded us. Chava said, Hashem said. And the Nochash said, ah, now I see the crack. Because she thinks it's a saying and not a command. What's the difference between a saying and a command? A saying, it's, you know, God said this. He's telling us what to do. But if you really understand what Vayitzav means, you know, a command. Why is God commanding us to do this? Why? What's the difference between commanding and a saying? A saying is, you know, a person says, you know, it's nice if you did, you know. A command says, it's you know, when your kid is not well, okay, your kid's not well, right? Menachem has a fever yesterday. Okay, we pour him the medicine. He doesn't want to drink it. Okay, how do you tell him to take it? All right, Tata, it'll be so good for you. You know, take it, this and that. Or say, do you understand? You're not well. You have to take it because it's going to make you better. I insist you take it. How does it usually work out at the end? You talk nice to the kid? Or you force him? When you know it's for his good. You know he has to take it. Right? The kid's got a... Never the last couple of days. He had to go to the dentist. You know, this has all been a bad couple of days for him, right? He has to go to the dentist. The dentist had to pull a tooth out. He's screaming and yelling. The doctor had to give him a shot. You know, so you have somebody's mother. Oh, dear, would you like to take the shot? Please take the shot. You got to take the shot. That's it. He's yelling and screaming. You got to. I don't care if you like it or not. You got to take it. Like, it is good for you. It is. You got to take the medicine. I insist you take it. That's a command. A command from a Kodesh Baruch Hu is different from a command from a flesh and blood king. They're those who command you to control you. Hashem doesn't need to control you. He's got all the power. You got to think of it. If God's got all the power, why is he commanding you to do anything? What does he need to command you? If you're a king, you want to force somebody. The command means it's a force. But when God commands, it doesn't mean he's forcing you. He's insisting. He's insisting, this is what is good for you. Do you want to live? Do you want to live? I insist that you do this. That's what Hashem was telling Adam. Somehow it got lost in the translation. And I said, well, Hashem said we should take it. Said, you know, okay, said, you know. In Yiddish they say, Herr gesagt. Herr gesagt. He said, no, people say, a lot of people say a lot of things, but how important is it to do it? So it's like not that important. She brought it across. Once the snake heard, oh, Hashem hat gesagt. Okay, people say a lot of things. You know, your mother said you shouldn't do this, you know. But, you know, a lot of times we don't do what people tell us to do. A lot of times kids don't do what we tell them to do. Yeah, mom said, I won't listen anyway, it'll be okay. But when the parent insists, whoa, you're insisting already, I gotta be careful. And you see this so clearly in Sefer Dvarim. Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Dalet, while we get in the midst of the mitzvah observance, very important, very important. Where Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, you know, when your kids are going to ask you, why should we keep the Seder? And we say, you know, we were Avadim Hayinu, and Hashem did miracles, and he took us out of Egypt, blah, blah, blah. And then he took us out of Egypt for the purpose, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayitzaveinu Hashem. They took us out to the land he promised. Hashem commanded us to do all these statues and to fear him. Why? It says it why he commanded us. L'tov lanu kol hayomim l'chayoseinu kayom hazeh. For our benefit, for our good, for all the days of our lives, to keep us alive like today. That's why he commands us. It's mamish in the pasuk. Problem is, nobody knows Sefer Dvarim. It's in the summertime, we're on vacation. It's the most abused Sefer of the five Svarim. It's unbelievable. Nobody knows anything about Sefer Dvarim. Everybody's on vacation. Oh, there's no school. There's no school during Sefer Dvarim. So you never learned it when you were a kid. No Parsha Shavua. Everyone's away. Shul's empty. I don't know if the cottages give you intense shiurim, you know, when you go to the shuls. I don't know. But it's not there. Sefer Dvarim, it's like, And it's no wonder why nobody cares about Eretz Yisrael, because these are the parshas of Eretz Yisrael. Nobody learns them. It's like one mishmash. But when Hashem, he took us out of Mitzrayim, right? He took us there to bring us, Lahavi Osar, to give us the land that Hashem commanded us. Hashem is giving us the land. Why? And he commands us regarding that land to do everything we're supposed to do. Litov lanu, for our benefit. Kol hayomi lichayosenu, to give us life. These commands are to give us life. That's what it says. Vayitzavenu, Hashem commands us. If it's something to give you life, I insist you do it. For your own benefit, I insist you do it. And on top of that, then the Pasuk says, on top of that, it's going to be your life. You're going to benefit so much. And he also says, and it'll be a merit for us if we're careful for him. Not only that, he'll reward us for it. Not only, it's like a doctor saying, you know, I insist you lose weight, I insist you exercise, or you're going to be dead. Okay? And then it says, and then so you go 6 months, you come back, you drop 20 pounds, the blood pressure is good, everything's good, the cholesterol's down. The doctor says, I'm really proud of you. Don't you feel healthier? Yeah, I really feel it. And you know what? Here's a check for $10,000. I'm rewarding you for this. On top of that. That's what Hashem is saying. So the idea of a tzivui, a command, we got to understand this idea of command, because ultimately command, tzivui, is from the word tzavta, which means connection to Hashem. If you connect to Hashem, that gives you the life. Hashem is the source of life. If he gives you a command, that's an extension of what life's all about. And when you do, when you connect to God, you connect to the eternal source of life. So the commandments of Hashem give us life. It's not meant to control us. And at Har Sinai, the Jewish people reached this level of first man before the sin, that we understood how it would give us life. And really, for that temporary moment, when we accepted the Torah unequivocally, the death sentence on humanity was removed. Right? When first man was never meant to die, only after he sinned by eating the Eitz HaDaas. Because why? Because listening to God should have you live forever. Once you sinned and you create a schism between God's will and your will, then those mitzvahs don't work so well as they could. But at Har Sinai, the Jews said Nasav Nishma, we're back on track. Okay, we lost it, unfortunately, after the sin of the golden calf. But that is the essential nature of what it does. That's what it's all about. So this is the key to the whole Sefer Dvarim. Moshe gives us Musar. Come on, guys. Your parents weren't so good. You got to do better, this and that. Then there's going to be the mitzvahs he's going to tell us to do. But Moshe says, it ain't going to work. Musar, mitzvahs, there's a disconnect. You need the bridge. What's the bridge? The bridge is, watch, look what I'm going to do. The best role model of history, the best teacher. He says, look, I got to stop my drush. Wait, I got to go over and I'm designating three cities. They're all looking at him. Is it going to help? No. So why are you doing it? Because it's a mitzvah. Because this is life itself. I mean, everything that Moshe did was oiske cheshbon. He never lifted a finger without thinking 10 times over was the right thing to do. But it's not even working. It doesn't matter. It's a mitzvah. You see how important a mitzvah is? And that's the lesson of the Ir HaMiklat. All right? So now that we understand this was all a very important introduction, you know. But it's also important. So with this, we can explain a very difficult Rambam, and then we're going to come back to Yeshua. We didn't forget about Yeshua. Hope I can find it now. I found it yesterday. Wait, give me a second. Oh, the Rambam. Now the Rambam is a halachic work. It's the book of, you read it, this is what I'm supposed to do. Right? So it says, you know, person kills, person this way. So in the 8th chapter of Hilchos Ritzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh, the Rambam says, it's a positive mitzvah to separate an Ir HaMiklat. As it says, the Torah says in Sefer Devarim, three cities you should separate. On the West Bank. Vein Ir HaMiklat Nohegas Ela Be'eretz Yisrael. And Ir HaMiklat only works in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, and there are six Ir HaMiklats. Moshe separated three on the East Bank. Yeshua separated three on the West Bank. Then he says, and none of the cities work until they all work. As we learned already, you have to have all six. And that's what Moshe teaches us. This is very nice historical stuff. And then the Rambam himself, it's a halacha book. Halacha book says you do this, you do that. That's a halacha book. Then he asks, so why did Moshe separate him if they didn't work? He says, since a mitzvah comes to my hand, shouldn't I do it? What in the world is the Rambam talking about? Okay, now you learned three halachas in Rambam. So what are you going to do now? You're going to separate near a miklat? Where's the practicality of this? There's no practicality. The Rambam writes what we need to know. What do you need to know? And then he gets on to the fourth. And you know what? When Mashiach comes, there's going to be three more. Mashiach comes, there's going to be three more. And where are they going to be? In the new lands that we're going to get from the Kini, the Knizi, the Kadmoni, into Iraq. It's going to be air, so it's going to go all the way into Iraq. We're going to need three more. So what is the Rambam telling us? You know, what was Moshe's motivation? What kind of law is this? The answer is, this is very pertinent, because the Rambam here is consistent with the Rambam in Pirkei Avos. The Rambam in Pirkei says, this is the Chiddush Nifla. This is the wondrous Chiddush. How you have to be so careful about mitzvahs. So it's not about an era miklat today, for you, because you don't know it. But it's to come to Mimka in the afternoon. That's what the Rambam is for. If the Rambam bothers to say Moshe Rabbeinu knew, he's not even finishing the mitzvah, and he ran to do the mitzvah, have a chance to a mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, we called Sam. He came right away. It was a hassle. He had to put his jacket on, go out, start the car. This and that. He was here in 6 minutes. Had a mitzvah. Do it right away. That's what the Rambam is saying. So now, Klal Yisrael, they've come into Eretz Yisrael, and we've been there for 14 years already, and now it's time. The 14 years was kind of like a in-between period, you know. We're out of the desert, we're conquering the land, but like, how many mitzvahs did we really do? And especially mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Truma, Meiser, all these things, they don't happen till the 14 years of conquest and dividing the land are up. And we just finished dividing the land. At chapter 19, the land is divided. So if the chapter 19 is divided, and according to, we've already explained the last 2 days, that Yeshua was kind of delaying in doing the mitzvah. He was delaying in separating the mitzvah. He wasn't sure what to do. Whatever the explanations we gave in the last 2 days, I'm not sure we haven't conquered the other cities yet. So what is Hashem telling to do? Yeshua, do what you can! Do like your Rebbe. Your Rebbe separated three, even though it didn't help. But whatever you do is life. So Yeshua separate, but it's not going to work anyway. We haven't captured the city. Well, do what you can, man. And that was the first mitzvah. Where's Truma? Where's Meiser? Where's this? It's not written. What's up with Iram Miklat? Because the whole point of Iram Miklat, as the Rambam is saying, that's the Chiddush Nifla in doing mitzvahs. Hashem brought you in the land and he commanded you to do the mitzvahs. And Hashem insists, why? Because they're life. Which is the mitzvah shows life? That's Ir HaMiklat. So it's such a plea. Who cares? We don't see one thing about Challah, Bikurim, Meiser, Truma, all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, Korbanos, nothing. Not even a description of Mishkan Shiloh. Nothing. We came into the land. Okay, we're doing nothing. Here a miklat, yes. We could have, you know, obviously the Torah already said you got to separate the miklat and just set them up. Just like the Torah says you have to separate chal and you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do meiser, this, and shemitah, this. They didn't talk about the first shemitah, or anything. Just talk about here a miklat. This is the plea of why here a miklat. Now we understand, because it's the key to all mitzvahs. It's the key to all mitzvahs. And with the key to all mitzvahs. And that's why Hashem had to speak. Remember he said, Loshen Aza. It was a tough language. Hashem was giving a tough language. You know, Vayitzav is a tough language and Daber is a tough language. Why is Hashem being so tough? Because I insist you do this. I insist you care about your mother. But we don't even have Shechem and we don't even have the northern city. We don't have this. And what's it going to help us? I just do it. Because that little bit, run to do this mitzvah, and that's Hashem's insistence that says you can dilly-dally. And that was Yeshua, you know, it's to the level that we can understand Yeshua, which is totally not correct, not deep enough. But that was the whole fault of Yeshua, his delay. He delayed the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. He delayed, for some reason, he had that orthodox cheshbon. He figures he'll live longer, but the truth is you'll live longer if you do Hashem's mitzvahs. Even if you know you're not going to be around afterwards. Right? And that you see by Moshe Rabbeinu all the time. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and make war against Midian and then you're going to die. So what did Moshe do? He ran to do the mitzvah. What do you mean you're going to die? I may physically die, but I'll spiritually be more alive than I ever was if I do that. And that's why he would run. That was that difference that came out in one and not in the other. So that we see is like really, really, really critical. So we should learn a big lesson from this shiur today. How even if you don't think the mitzvah is going to be in the best way possible, but epis you can do something, that is the life, and that's what Hashem was trying to show Yeshua and the Jewish people as they would live in Eretz Yisrael.